Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. We're going to start off with a gold chart that Craig sent me. It really simply just outlines this downtrend that gold has been in ever since August, and the test of this upper downtrend line that has been tested, let's say, four times. One of those four times, the gold price actually broke out, but it very quickly reversed. That happened right at the tail end of January. Overall, this is a key chart, even though it is pretty simple in nature, showing that until this downtrend line can be broken, well, we should probably keep on expecting a bit more of a downtrend. That being said, we might be forming this pennant formation. Obviously, it is coming to a point here pretty soon, so a decision will have to be made on this chart. But Craig, what are some of the keys that you're looking at this chart that I will post below this interview?
Well, I would start with, what is that purple line? We talk about the bullish fundamentals long-term for gold, right? You know, the debt and debt financing and negative real rates and all this kind of stuff. But also the chart technically is pretty bullish too, whether you want to look at the weekly chart or the monthly chart. You know, you've got those old all-time highs back in September of 2011, and then you got the monthly closing highs that are up there on 1820, something like that. No matter where you want to draw a horizontal line and then draw, you know, just pull a line down, make a little cup underneath it, you see it get this kind of cup and handle formation. And that's obviously very bullish as you break out. A lot of times, after you've broken out, you get this kind of downward channel. And what technicians call that is a bull flag. Well, that purple line on that chart I sent you, Corey, is the top of the bull flag, the top boundary of that bull flag. Whether you want to draw it on the daily chart like I did so you can see it up close, or if you want to look at it, the weekly, monthly chart, whatever, that is the top. And so, you know, in terms of getting general investors, you know, hedge funds and the like, getting them interested in buying COMEX gold futures and getting price moving, I mean, you've got to get a breakout, right? You want to get above the 50-day moving average, you know, all that kind of jazz. But a recognized breakout of that bull flag will really get everyone's attention, all the TA guys, and they'll be all over Twitter and every place else talking, oh, look at this, look at this. So it's not surprising that bull flag continues to contain us for now. Like you said, it connects the peak in August with that peak at about 1962 from right after the U.S. election, right before the Pfizer vaccine news was announced. Then you just extend it downward. Yeah, we broke out, looked like we were ready to roll first couple of days of the trading year, and then immediately reversed back lower and fell 100 some odd dollars. Got pinned up against it a couple of weeks ago. 50-day moving average is right there as well. Spent like 8 or 9 days not getting through there. And then just as recently as yesterday, COMEX gold rallied to about 1856 overnight into the early morning and then was immediately, I mean, just rolled right backward. That might have seemed like, ain't no big deal. Okay, I've sold off. Well, guess what 1856 was? Right on, as people can see, that purple line, the top of the bull flag. So anyway, long story short, price isn't going anywhere until that trend changes. The good side, the bullish side of it, I think anybody can look at that and see what appears to be a double bottom at about 1780. And if you want to draw support off there, then yeah, you got a little wedge that we might continue to use that support and then finally break the flag. But the moral of the story is we are still consolidating a perfectly normal technical pattern from a long-term basis. And we just wait. We wait until we break out and then sentiment will change and eventually we get rolling to the upside again.
One other thing to consider, and it's not shown in this chart, I'm looking at another daily gold chart here, is that the 50-day moving average, 200-day moving average, and 50-day exponential moving average, those are almost identical, all at 1856, right where gold topped out. And now we are seeing a lot of these moving averages. Outside of that 200-day, they're actually rolling over. They have a bit of a downtrend to them themselves. So this is strong resistance. Any thoughts on those moving averages that I outlined there, Craig?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, 2 weeks ago, I think and you can see it on that chart. I didn't put the 50-day on there, but we spent about 8 days in a row pinned up against coming from the underside of that 50-day and unable to get above, maybe briefly trade above there, but then fall back down and could never close above. And then you had this drop down to 1780 last week. There's no doubt that's resistance. And if people wonder why, I think this is going to be an overly simplified explanation, but just think of the volume of the trading that's done by high-frequency trading computers. We know on the stock exchange, it's approaches 90% in some days. So most of this futures trading that you see is the same thing. It's pre-programmed algo trading. And those algos are programmed to notice where the 50-day moving average is. That's a key short-term indicator. They're no doubt programmed to trade off the 200-day moving average as well, which is also, you know, a more longer-term intermediate trend indicator. In a simplified manner, think of it as just code written into that buy or sell program that if you're below the 50-day, below the 200-day, these machines are more apt to sell the rally. If you're in an upward slope, like we were back a year and a half through last summer, the machines are apt to buy the dip. And so you get support at those moving averages sometimes if the trend is upward and you're above it, but you also get resistance at those moving average if you're below it in a downtrend every time you come back up. And that's what we're battling now. Again, but see, the key that people, I have to remind people on my side all the time, no trend goes to infinity and no trend goes to zero. I mean, I guess there are stocks that go bankrupt and they go to zero, but nothing goes on forever. And eventually that downtrend line or uptrend line, depending on what you're tracking, will be broken. And the only problem is we just haven't broken it yet.
Exactly. Well, one thing that I have outlined throughout this week, even last week, is the low volumes that we've been seeing in GDX, GDXJ, really just goes to show how ignored this sector is. It's not selling off aggressively, so it's not hated, but it is simply just ignored. We had some very interesting news out of Kinross post-market yesterday. Kinross delivered some great financial numbers. Best free cash flow in history. They more than doubled their net earnings in 2020. However, we look at the trading today and Kinross is down. It's not down huge, but you would think that some of these good earnings reports might draw some more investors into the sector, but it clearly is not. What's your thought on that action in Kinross after a good earnings report?
That's right. They didn't even expand what their reserves are too. They found more gold.
It's just across the board. It was a good report.
Couldn't be better. And I had people on my site this morning saying, what is it? I mean, the stock's doing nothing. Why? Because nobody's buying it. I mean, you got to have some buyers. And at this point, nobody cares because everybody's invested in where the momentum is. Whether it's Tesla or the handful of tech stocks or they're following the Reddit crowd, everybody just wants to make as much money as possible. They're not interested in long-term and value and PE ratios and cash flow and dividends anymore. Nobody cares. They care again at some point. Even if we just get some momentum again with some rising metal prices, then people will care. But I'm reminded, Corey, remember, I don't know if it was from psychology class back in college or maybe I had a girlfriend breaking up with me once that told me this. I can't remember. But, they always used to say the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. Isn't that true? I mean, there have been periods in the past where people have loved our sector and we love it still. But right now, the opposite is just indifference. People just don't, like you said, they don't hate it. They're not just, just selling them down to nothing. But nobody cares. They're just indifferent. It's like, whatever. Oh, look at that. Yeah, look at all that free cash flow. They're basically a license to print money, by selling it at 1800 and it's only cost them 1000 or whatever. And nobody cares. That will change. I'm confident of that. But it hasn't changed yet. And that's all part of the ongoing frustration.
It is. But let's address some of the key drivers. We have talked about these before, but you know what? They are important to keep on noting. It deals with real interest rates. That ties in inflation to everything. we hear a lot of comments about inflation picking up, and look at all the inflation that we're going to have. Inflation expectations have moved up, but unfortunately, the underlying inflation data is not skyrocketing higher. I know there's a lot of higher costs. We're all paying higher costs. The argument can be that inflation is happening in the financial markets, but that doesn't have its impact on the precious metals. And you look at interest rates, the long end is still quite elevated for where it has been. I know, still like historically low in many senses, but the 10-year is up over 1.16%. So these factors are continuing to hold down gold in my eyes.
Oh, no doubt about it. And that's the biggest problem that we've had since August. You know, we went from $1,700 to $2,100 gold in 2 months. And it was because a massive rally in the bond market took the yield on the 10-year note down to 55 basis points, Corey. So when we were printing a CPI of, you know, 1.5%, 1.6%, you had a negative real return on the 10-year note of slightly more than -1%. And that's what drove, that's the strongest, anybody can look this up, that is the strongest historical correlation with gold prices, not just inflation. People think is it is an inflation hedge, and that's a misnomer. The correlation is inflation-adjusted interest rates. And why is that? Because in this current system, the U.S. 10-year Treasury note is basically the foundational cornerstone investment for institutions, pension funds, insurance companies. I mean, you name it, even central banks and their foreign currency reserves. It's the foundational investment. And when all of a sudden you're guaranteeing an investor a negative return, well, all of a sudden gold doesn't look so bad, right? It's just, you know, you got to pay to store it, so it's got its own negative return. Well, if your negative guaranteed return for 10 years on a treasury bond or treasury note, hey, you know what? Gold doesn't look so bad. So it makes gold really shine. That's why that correlation is there. Well, what has really killed us and driven us in this sideways and down for now 6 months is the fact that inflation hasn't risen. It was reported again yesterday at 1.4%, but that nominal rate on the 10-year notes gone from 55 basis points to 115. That's more than double. And so where we're looking at -1% real rate is now -0.2, 0.3. And that's the biggest problem. So two things have to happen. If we're going to, when this turns around, what will be the driver? Either we're going to finally get a pickup in inflation, as everybody's expecting. Even if nominal rates go higher, the Fed at some point will institute control, yield curve control, saying we're not going to let it go past, say, 1.5%. Inflation goes to 3% and we're at -1.5% again. Or there won't be any inflation at all that'll ever come, and buyers will come streaming into 10-year treasuries again and drop that nominal yield back down to 50 basis points. One of those two things will eventually happen this year, and that'll be the key to finally breaking that pattern that's on that chart.
Just waiting, though. That's what we're playing, yeah. A general waiting game right now. It is encouraging that it looks like gold has put in some sort of a double bottom there at about 1770. However, it does still need to break that downtrend line that is on that chart posted below this interview. Craig, good chatting with you, buddy. I will post a link to your website, and we'll probably talk again next week, hopefully after a break of that downtrend line, but we will see. Thanks for your time, Craig. Have a great weekend.
You too, my friend.